This episode is brought to you by Dispatch in Depth, a new podcast for emergency dispatchers. If you like Within the Trenches, you're going to want to check this out. Dispatch in Depth takes you deep into the why and how of emergency dispatching. It's produced by the International Academies of Emergency Dispatch and hosted by Isabel Gardette, the Director of Academics at IAED. Each episode features an interview with experts in the field, including researchers, dispatchers, responders, and public safety officials who talk about the work they're doing to make emergency dispatching as safe and effective as possible. One of the most recent episodes I listened to talked about research done on police dispatch response protocols and how a study found that more detailed information is received during higher priority calls versus low priority calls. Coming from dispatch, I can relate and agree because in high priority calls, you tend to get more information needed for the person heading out to the call. You want them to have everything they need in order to help them catch the suspect. On the other hand, though, in a low priority call, like a VIN inspection, you're only getting what is needed for that specific situation. There's no need to ask questions in reference to the license plate number or if it has any dents. The study is very interesting, and it's one you don't want to miss. The episode is called Police Research Academy with Chris Knight and Megan Broadbent. Just one of many great episodes of Dispatch in Depth available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. And now for the show.
This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Damn.
Yeah, dude.
You listen to this?
Very nice.
Stop music. They have this type of music in the Vincy.
What the heck? What are you doing, Piggy? Was that a book check? And I missed it.
Are you looking for boogies?
And we're back again.
Damn it.
Boogies, eye boogies.
Those are worse than real boogers.
They are.
Eye boogies?
Oh, God. I can't talk to you if you have them.
Seriously?
Or yeah.
Like the white
Why do you start?
I said lip.
I know you did.
I know, but it's so funny.
It's so funny. I have never heard that.
I don't even know. I forgot what we were going to talk about now. Where's my notes?
Whatever.
Okay, here we go. Let's see if we can do this.
I don't think we can.
I'm going to get the giggles. I'm just going to worry. I can feel it.
Oh, it's funny. That's good.
That'll
that's
be
what
good.
Makes it
yeah,
good.
That's what, that'll be fun then. Good afternoon. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 159 of Within the Trenches, and I'm recording live from the Expo Hall here in Springfield, Illinois, for the Illinois Public Safety Telecommunications Association Conference for 2017. What?
Simpsons,
you know, so...
I did it just because.
Damn it.
Trying to figure out how to
okay.
interrupt you.
So...
I did it.
So I'm going to jump into this really quick and say that my guests today are Rachel, who is the Public Safety ITPM with Wake County out of North Carolina. Welcome.
Thank you.
And as you heard already, show interrupter and regular Director of Vigo County out of Indiana and President of NINA, Rob Big Mac McMullen.
What's up, yos? It's like forever since I've done one of these.
It has been a long time. Yeah. And what I wanted to say was that he does it every time. That's why I call him the intro rupture. Rupture. Ruption
rupture.
Guy.
It's the rupture. That's the rapture.
Because, see, I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk now because this guy jacked the whole thing up.
It's my
but,
stick.
Yeah. This episode is sponsored by Dispatch in Depth, a new podcast by the IAED. Make sure to check them out on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. And this episode is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. So as we were saying, it's been a while since you've been on.
That's been a long time.
What was the last episode?
I don't even remember. I don't know if it was at the Indiana Conference. Because I don't think I did one at
National. Was it that long ago?
Yeah, because I don't think I did one at National. So I was busy. I said...
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, Rachel, this guy, since he's become the prez,
got no time for you little people anymore.
No.
Bullshit.
I'm like, what the hell, man? No. This guy. Every time I'm like, dude, let's do an episode. Oh, I can't. I'm traveling here.
Yeah,
traveling there.
That was the last one. I was supposed to be episode 155 because that's the whole thing.
That's
and
true.
He's like,
yes.
Hey, I want to do. I was like, I can't this week. I think that was when I was going to Mexico. It's like, I can't do that one.
You're too busy being important.
Yeah. And I was like, I was like, I'll be back this day. And then I see episode 155 with such a. I'm like, next slot, Jack Wagon. I was
How dare
upset.
You?
Gotta keep you humble.
I know. That's right. What it was. You put me down there.
Oh, whatever, dude. You were telling me about how fun the conference was in Mexico. So
it was cool. It was hot.
I would have gone over there instead of talked to me.
It was hot. Never been like humidity like 98%. It was so humid. It was like raining every like inside the building.
So it was like, so you were sweating like crazy.
It was disgusting.
You smell like ham.
I did. It's disgusting. When I opened my suitcase when I got back home, I was like, it was just, oh man.
Why does it smell like a hot dog being thrown in a microwave? It's so bad.
Oh, it was nasty, but it was a good time. It was an experience, let me tell you that.
Well, they've got a lot of stuff that they're doing over there. Now, you were saying that there wasn't a lot of vendors and stuff, but the stuff that they're doing...
All their vendors were based on surveillance. Like closed-circuit television. Apparently, all of their networks, and they're very proactive in their law enforcement type of work, so they have video cameras everywhere across cities. So you can basically, they'll set in their peace apps or their call centers and watch video walls, huge video walls of every, all the corner or street corners and everything, intersections, watching for, you know, crime to happen. And then when it does, or when it's about to, or that they see something, then they'll dispatch the units to that area when they see like suspicious people. Apparently their profiling is like legal there, so they'll like see sketchy people walking and they're like, hey, let's go.
You look kind of weird.
You
so.
Look a little sketchy, so we're gonna go take care of you. And then they'll go and they'll respond to that area. So they have very, very, very robust networks like fiber and they're
do they have like predictive like heat maps and stuff from the different areas that they've gone to?
And their drones were showing lots of drones. They use drones on it. Like,
I guess that's a little surprising to me that I wouldn't have expected.
That's what I thought. I'm like, this is crazy. I was not expecting that type of technology.
Yeah.
Right.
From that, because I mean, that's not what you see.
No.
So.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. It was very eye opening. I had a good time.
Wow.
Yeah,
that is pretty crazy.
And
so,
like,
did they have demonstrations and stuff that they did with the drones?
Yeah, and they had their vendor show was open like the entire conference, and of course they only had like five or six vendors there, but they were open like from the time the vendor hall opened all day long, and they had the all the stuff. It was really cool.
Please tell me they had like VR headsets that they were using for these drones.
No, they were like, just like normal, you know.
Regulars. Mm-hmm. That still sounds cool as hell, man.
It was really cool. It's very cool.
There's a buddy of mine down in Florida who's starting to do something similar. Whatever, dude. His name is Tom. He's cool as hell.
Yeah.
Eagle Eye Surveillance. They're doing drone stuff down there as well.
Yeah.
So
it was really, really neat.
Dang. You guys doing anything in North Carolina with drones?
There's a couple places that are looking at it, but I don't know of any place that's got them deployed yet.
Dang.
Just worried about the whole impact when your dispatcher starts making on-scene decisions and changing protocol based on that.
Right.
It's kind of scared some people off.
Our sheriff's department at home they're just got funding for a drone program to launch for like search and rescue and getting ready to go through the whole FAA process and the pilots and doing all that stuff. So.
Damn, there's a lot coming, man, in law enforcement, even that technology. Now, speaking of law enforcement and dispatching and such, Rachel, you come from dispatching as well, right?
Yeah, I grew up as a baby dispatcher long ago.
A baby dispatcher. Baby, you know, dispatcher. I've heard that like 3 or 4 times since I've been here.
I was a baby dispatcher.
So how did you start out, then?
Kind of like everybody else, I fell into it. I was actually finishing up my last semester of college and was looking for a job, and 911 was the first group of people that hired me. And it's not necessarily what I was wanting to do. I was looking to go into more of EM. But then I got in there, I got hooked. And
EM is emergency management?
Yes.
Okay, just...
emergency. You think it means something different just because I'm from North Carolina?
Well, for the public for who the listens public, to the episode.
I've got to...
emergency.
You know, just electromagnetism.
Oh. that's good.
But yeah.
Energy management. You know, hey, just
letting okay.
Just letting you know.
Thanks. Thanks, pal.
You're welcome.
I got something right here.
I'm here for you.
Shut up. So, but did you have anybody in law enforcement already, or public safety rather, that, or did you just jump into it? Did you know somebody or?
No. Well, so my degree was in GIS, mm-hmm. and whenever I was going through, and this was before, like, there was a whole lot of mapping and the 911 center, and I worked at the fire department in college, and there was a call with a bunch of hazmats. I was like, you know, if we had that flagged in GIS and the dispatchers had access to it, you know, this could have been prevented. So I started talking to my professors about it, and they were like, no, man, GIS isn't for that at all. And so I started kind of that way, but my family's law enforcement, fire department, but I just applied for a job, got in it, loved it, and never left.
Damn.
Well, yeah. It's not really true. You did leave.
I left the con center.
This well, guy.
Just want to make sure.
Why don't you just talk?
Okay, fine. I'll be quiet.
So then, when you were a baby dispatcher,
yes.
How long ago was that then?
I started dispatching in 01.
In 01?
Mm-hmm.
The same time that I did. Cool. So, what was it like when you first started out then? I mean, you get the job. And you start training, like, what is it that you're looking at? How many screens did you have? I mean, was it overwhelming for you in the beginning, or was it just like, yeah, I'm going to do this?
Well, it kind of was. We had 4 screens, telephone, radio.
Uh-huh.
Actually, no, it was even before we had telephone, so it was just 3, radio and 2 cats.
They didn't have telephone down there.
Well, we didn't have computer.
Sorry, Rachel, I'll be quiet now.
She's going to kick your ass by the end of this.
It is going to happen.
It's funny, though.
Yeah, we just had 3, and it was overwhelming, especially everybody when we would do our sit-alongs at first, just trying to keep up with everybody tabbing through, and there was all this stuff moving, and I couldn't even tell which screen they were working off of, but yeah, it was a little culture shock for me.
I remember when I had first started, and I was watching everyone just do everything like crazy, I thought, am I going to be able to do this?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much multitasking that's going on right now, I don't know, but I mean, you jump into it, and you start working on it, and then it becomes second
memory.
Nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember your first phone call?
You know, that's the crazy thing. I was just talking about it with somebody else a few minutes ago. There's really only one call that I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't my first one. But it was like that, oh, okay, now I finally get what I'm doing, which sounds kind of silly to say. You know what I mean? But it's
right.
Like when it all clicked, okay, now I understand what this is and what I'm doing and like just how important it is.
Right.
But the rest of it's just kind of a blur.
What was that call?
Oh, it's kind of a downer.
It's all good.
Okay. So this lady called, and you could tell just from her voice that she was 800. And her husband, and he's going to find a way.
Is 800 like 96?
No, I'm thinking 800 as in 800 years old.
Yeah, that's what.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking it was another code. Everyone's code's different, but the 96 code is usually the same with everyone.
Yeah, she was not...
someone who's cray. Crazy.
She was cray.
Cray.
Yes.
No, she was elderly. And what are you doing?
Yeah, that started by itself. I don't know why that started by itself. But that'll be funny. as you're telling this downer story. All right. I'm a jerk. I apologize. Go ahead.
And anyway, her husband had committed suicide. So I had just been released on my own on EMS phones. And so I was a little nervous, but I made it all the way through. And so at the end, I was feeling kind of confident about myself. Good job. I didn't screw anything up. And so I'm staying on the phone with her, and I just tell her to step outside, and people are coming. And she says, well, I don't know what to do now. I said, oh, you don't have to do anything. I said, people are coming. They're going to handle it all for you. And she went from sounding like the kindest, gentlest granny to, I mean, she snapped. She's like, no, what I mean is, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I've been married to that man almost 70 years. What do I do now? And I went,
oh, geez.
How arrogant am I thinking just because I can send her an ambulance that fixes everything? And it was really the moment I said, I got to start taking this. Not that I didn't take it seriously, but I've got to up my game a little bit because
there's
real people on the other end of the phone. Mm-hmm. It's not just make-believe. So that was the moment when it kind of all clicked. And that was also the moment that my little job that I took to make some money while I was in college turned into a career.
Right, exactly. It's funny how that happens where, you know, you're working, like you said, and you're just kind of going paycheck to paycheck or whatever, and then a call happens. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, now I get it.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you mean.
Yep.
So, man. So from there, I mean, how did you make your transition then from being in the chair to now as an IT PM or project manager?
A few years in, we went through a consolidation with the county and the city, and I was on the county side, and my degree was in GIS, and that was the first position they hired in the new consolidation process. So I got promoted up to GIS coordinator, did that for several years. My boss retired, so I took over management of the IT division. Did that for a while, but the whole carrying a beeper and 2 a.m. on a Saturday getting called into work got a little old. So
a beeper.
Yeah. You know us, nice. People, you got to keep your pagers. You guys still have them?
Hell no, I don't have them.
Really? Man, no. I can't get anybody to get rid of them.
Seriously?
Yeah.
It's called a smartphone.
Come to North Carolina, man.
You're the only county.
Really?
You're the only state in the world.
The greatest county in North Carolina.
County,
the only place in the world that still uses beepers. Besides drug dealers.
Wait a minute. So then I have a question. For your state conference, do you have vendors that are selling beepers to them?
Selling beepers, no, but like some of them.
I was just wondering.
Like the old ones, the translucent blue.
Yeah, dude.
The purple ones.
Yeah, the ones that you
upside down.
Like skaters and ravers would have back in the day.
With a little gold chain coming off of it.
Do you have a gold chain on yours?
I bet she does.
I see it right now. I'm just playing.
You're going to pay, Rob. You will pay.
He told you this would be a fun one, right?
Yeah.
See, it's good that we're laughing now with this after telling your downer story.
Yeah, because that would have killed it. It would have killed the vibe.
You know what, though? It's that you say that because it's not something that you think about to be like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now. It's like, you said that because you just don't think about that.
Yeah,
right.
You're thinking dispatch world, the immediate, handle it, move on.
But
not,
she was totally.
She's looking
the rest out. Of my life, I've been married to this person for 70 years.
Holy. Yeah, what do I do now?
70 years.
I felt like such a jackass.
Yeah. It's like, what do you. Yeah. You just wanted to crawl in a hole. It's like,
Yeah, I did.
It's terrible. It's crazy.
No, I'm right there with you. It's like the. It's. Kind of the same, but different because I take a call where it's a domestic with a dad and his son, a teenager. It wasn't physical or anything. It was verbal, but I'm talking to the son and I had asked where, you know, the dad is and get all the pertinent information and stuff. People are going out there. But then I ask, which would be a normal question, where's your mom at? And he says, my mom died. Like a year ago or something like that. And I was like,
yeah.
And I say, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't know. And he goes, no, it's all right. You didn't know. But I really miss her, though. And I was like, you're going to continue to stab me in the heart, no. Man. I'm sorry. Don't so rub good. It in. Yeah, but no, definitely. You don't know what do you say? I mean, what else is there? Because I've been in the same situation where is there anyone you need me to call? Is there someone you need me to call for you? And then after that, it's just, where do I go from there?
Well, yeah, I did that too. I immediately hit my mute button, and then like tears came in my eyes. And when I collected myself, I asked, is there anybody I can call for you? And both of their children had already died. So it's just, it just kept getting worse. I know. Oh,
good Lord. It's like,
okay, I'm done. I'm disconnecting. Have a good day.
No, then it's like, give me an ETA on the first person.
Exactly.
Like, I got to get off the phone with this
hold
woman.
On just a moment. Yeah, key up. What's your ETA out there?
We've been delayed. We're railroaded. Oh, no. We just had a flat tire. Got it.
Jeez. It was like that fall that takes you 20 seconds to finally finish.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, that wasn't the first call in that shift, right? Was it towards the end?
No, I remember it was a Sunday. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and our shifts ran 6 to 6, and I was on day shift then. So it was the tone of my day.
That sucks. It's crazy too that a lot of those calls come in around that time in the morning, like right when you get there in the morning. I worked midnight shift my entire career except for 6 months. So when I got promoted to supervisor, I was low man on the pole.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted this one shift. This guy, come on. Good Lord, Big Mac. You got it, it's in your eyebrow.
Stop.
So anyway. Yeah, clean the lip cheese. Jeez. I don't even remember what I was going to say now. So there was 6 months where I had the morning shift before I switched back to midnights. And I would get there. We worked 4:30 in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So I would get there. And a lot of those first calls that came in the morning were people who woke up next to their spouses that had passed away.
Yeah.
It's freaking nuts.
I was tickled to get off days for that reason.
I was glad to get out of there only because I lived about 45 minutes away from the dispatch center.
Yeah.
So I would have to wake up at 3 a.m. to leave by 3:30 to get to work by 4:15 to relieve.
So why did y'all switch so early?
I mean, 4:15, we would have to be there to switch up, you know, to get briefed and all that other crap, and then start at 4:30. But the second time that I was working morning shift, it just happened to be on Easter. I had put my phone on airplane mode because I didn't want to get all the emails and stuff that was coming in. So I wanted to actually sleep. So I put on airplane mode. I wake up in the morning out of a dead sleep. And I remember jumping up and looking at the time, and it was 4:40. And I started freaking out, and I take my phone off of airplane mode, and I've got all these messages from dispatch. And I call into dispatch, and my coworker at the time, Tammy, she picks up, and I said, "Tammy, it's Ricardo." And she goes, "Did you oversleep?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And I said, "I'll be right there. I'll be there as fast as I can." And I hang up with her, and I'm freaking out, and my wife gets up. She goes, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Look at the time." I said, "I'm running late." Freaking sucked, man. That's why I wanted to be out of mornings. Yeah.
How did they have airplane mode if you started when I did?
Oh, this was just a few years ago that I'm talking about.
I thought, okay, never mind that. I thought you were talking 01. I'm like,
well,
no,
I was wondering why you were
2001.
Looking at me weird. No, I had a brick Nokia phone at that time.
Yeah, that's why I'm airplane going something.
Or a Kyocera might have been what it was at that time, actually.
The airplane mode.
Because the brick Nokia phone that I had was a 96. Yeah, that's right.
96,
man. Where were you in 96?
College.
See, he doesn't even know.
College. I was 2 years into college.
I was a sophomore in high school in 96. I graduated in 99.
2 years into college. I was a nice little criminology major at Indiana State. I'm going to be a cop and save the world.
He actually wanted to be a wrestler, though.
No,
he wanted to be a pro wrestler.
I'd love to be a pro wrestler.
That's what his name was going to be. His pro wrestling name was Big Mac.
Big Mac.
Big Mac, is that true?
And his manager?
He's going to be special sauce. I think my special move would have been the Big Mac attack.
That one I didn't know.
Somebody would have led you around by that little curl on your stash.
That was pre...
Pre-stash.
Pre-stash.
That's funny, man. So you've been doing this position then for how many years now?
Current position?
Yeah.
Going on three.
Three?
Yeah.
And then total time in public safety?
Well, I mean, I guess 20 years if you include the stuff in college, full time since 01.
Dang. Do you miss dispatch at all?
I do. I've actually thought about, because I need something else to do, going back and dispatching part time for the PSAP I grew up in. Thought about it. I do. It's kind of fun.
It is. I mean, it never leaves. I miss it. I don't miss the politics and BS and all that crap.
You know, but see, part-time when you just go in and you
do your job
and leave.
Right.
But you...
Would you still get forced in being part-time, though?
What do you mean, forced in?
Called in.
Oh, no.
Oh, I was going to say, there's, you know, like forced overtime.
The thing is, though... Like, if I go back to my original agency, I want to be part-time. It's like, with what we have done now and where we're at in our careers, it's like, you couldn't do that. You wouldn't be able to just, like, go home and – or go in and do your job and go home at the end of the shift and not worry about anything else.
Oh, I'd like to try, but I could.
I'd like to try it, but I don't think I could. You couldn't. With what's going on now, because going back to the agency that I was in and the lack of technology and the lack of everything that they had, you're going to be like wanting to do things to make things better as opposed to just going in and doing your job.
Oh, yeah. It could be a struggle.
And with where you're at on the NENA side with the state and national, it's not that easy. It would not be that easy just to go in, I'm here for my shift, 901, what's the address of emergency, do all that stuff for 4, 8, 12 hours,
right,
and then go home. I couldn't do it. I'd like to try. I'd like to say, yeah, I could, but I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be able to settle into dispatch mode. Like, I could, okay, wait, let me start again. I could be in dispatch mode, but I know that after that phone call, I would be thinking about work,
right,
and like my 9-to-5 work,
right,
and then how I could use that, like you were saying, that technology to kind of try to get it into the dispatch center that I'm working in.
Right.
I wouldn't be able to, because when I was in dispatch, I would take phone calls or whatever, but I would settle in. I was comfortable.
Right.
And I don't think I would be able to be comfortable because I would be thinking about so many other things.
But see, it's kind of the flip for me now because of national and state, and I have been removed from sitting in a chair for 10 years now. I wonder how much I'm missing out on when we're working on things that, because I'm that distance there, I feel like I almost need to reconnect and...
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I'm around it a lot, but there's a difference from walking through the room and actually sitting there and doing it.
Well, even being the boss of it, it's, you know, it's different than, okay, I'm trying to develop policies and procedures and stuff to make their jobs easier, but I'm not sitting in the chair anymore I'll go in there and talk to them a little bit, say, hey, what can we do? What can we do this? But actually doing it is far removed from it.
And I'm not saying that I was the bomb or anything,
you were.
Well, I was kind of a big deal.
That's the way we roll.
But I think one reason that that whole part of my career worked out and I was good at it is because I was still very connected to it. If they got busy or if we had a planned downtime, part of the time I'd sit there and work the radio. So I was still very close to it. So when people said, here's the problem, it wasn't like they had to explain it to me. I'm like, I get exactly what you're saying. We can fix that. So I just worry about losing that a little bit.
Now, at your center, did you guys do everything, or were you just police, or were you just fire, or was it police, fire, and phone calls? Was it all of it?
Police, fire, EMS.
Nice. So they did it all. Cool.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part to work in dispatch?
Sheriff radio. I love some sheriff radio. Yeah.
What?
Well, they actually, it was a little bit slower. It wasn't like EMS where everything was just always a problem or running out of ambulances. They were nicer on the radio. They had much more interesting calls because there's pockets in the county where I am that are a little colorful.
Yeah.
And we got to go there a lot, and people find really, really strange things to do to get themselves in need of help.
That is called job security.
Amen.
I used to love working radios as well. There's one spot. So there's three different positions, and there was phones, main law enforcement radio, and then the other one was what's called lean, or would be your
NCIC.
Yeah, your NCIC. And I was trying to think of what Indiana calls it. I couldn't think of it. There you go. And that one was more of a backup to both the other two positions. But radios was always fun, especially when there was a traffic grant going on for drunk drivers and their traffic stops just coming in. That was the best because the CAD system that we used had a command line. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you had all those commands memorized, you'd just be typing like crazy and just going nuts. We're like, yeah, bring it. Let's keep going. Dude, I'd be all about it, man. That was fun. But then it would always happen that somebody would call out a pursuit, call code 7, take all the other traffic over there. Emergency traffic stays.
You going to get him for the general America who doesn't know what a code 7 is, or is it just me?
This is also the Code 7 podcast network. Yes, I've said it many times, but I was also just about to say emergency traffic because that's what Code 7 is. So
I couldn't remember what his Code 7 was.
Yeah, but
sorry, God,
you gonna go off on him?
No shit. You know what? So,
I thought you were gonna yell at him or something.
No, I've got a question. I'm waiting on it.
What?
I got a question for you. So, with the command line on your CAD. Is that what got you interested, or were you doing coding for websites and stuff before that? So I'm just kind of wondering.
In high school, I helped start the very first web design class, and I helped teach it. So I was in English class, and my teacher, who was starting to get into web development stuff. He saw that I was doing a lot of just designing stuff on the side, and he said, "Have you ever done web design?" And I said, "Well, I know about it, but I've never tried it." So he showed me. This was Netscape Communicator. If you remember that browser from back in the day,
it's been a minute.
Crap.
Netscape Communicator had a built-in drag and drop browser. So I used that at home like crazy on a Packard Bell computer that I had, using America Online to get online dial up. Which I have to say that the phone number that was used for that was a local area code, and my parents were all about it until the first bill came, and it was like $500, and we realized that it was actually calling out, and I got in trouble. But anyway, I was using it a lot, and then I learned how to use it on the back end, and I've been coding ever since. So that's how I got into that, actually.
I just wondered if it had something to do with. And, you know, I did not realize till I saw, I don't know, I think we were at one of the conferences, and I saw your sticker for the Code 7. And I did not.
I didn't put two and two together
on the coding side of it. All I thought was the Code 7 was for dispatch. And then I'm like, when I saw the code, I'm like, duh. I was like, where? I didn't even think about it. So
thanks, man.
Yeah, I was like.
I'm putting both of my loves together on that one.
It's really cool. It's really ingenious.
Thanks, man. I'll try. So there was something that happened just, 3 days ago, actually. And this happened in the county that I used to work in when I very first started dispatching, which was in Polk County. The dispatch center that I worked at, though, was Frostproof Police Department.
Frostproof?
Frostproof, yes. It's a little tiny city in Florida, Central Florida. It actually used to be called Keystone. However, there was one year in, I don't even remember what year it was, but this year that it happened, there was a winter weather that went through Florida, if you can imagine winter weather in Florida, and there was frost all over the orange crops except for Keystone. So So the mayor ended up changing the name of Keystone to Frostproof. This is no shit, man. I swear to you. The only reason I know this is because of a bank alarm that happened when I was dispatching, and I had to call, and they immediately put me on hold, which they were not supposed to do. Well, I'm not going to say the whole thing because it's protocol, but they weren't supposed to do that. And we had people that were heading out there already. The girl who was working was new, so they hadn't taught her the protocol yet. But during the time when they put you on hold, it tells the story. It says, do you know the story of Frostproof? Well, back in whatever was called Keystone. And yeah, it goes through the whole thing. That's the only reason why I know it.
How long ago did that happen? The renaming, that is.
Oh, shit. I don't know. It was a while ago, a long time ago. But so like Frostproof is in Polk County, and that's where this happened. So I'm going to go ahead and play this because this is pretty interesting. However, if you know Polk County, a lot of things happen in Polk County.
I think a lot of people call it Polk County.
Polk County, yes. At one time, it was the meth capital.
Of Florida?
Yeah.
This next story is even a first for the Polk County Sheriff. A woman caught riding her horse drunk while along a busy road in Lakeland.
Yeah, she is now charged with DUI on a horse. ABC Action News reporter Andre Lyon shows us how that horse is doing now.
How the horse is doing?
The horse defended her. Said he wouldn't say anything.
The Polk County Sheriff is amazing.
That dude is awesome.
Saddle up your horse in Polk City. Ride it all the way to town in Lakeland drunk. If you do, we're going to put you in jail for DUI on a horse.
This Polk City woman, Donna Byrnes, caught swaying in and out of traffic on South Combe Road.
Our lady here.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hold on a minute. Okay, we've probably put out many BOLs. Can you imagine? Because he just said swaying in and out of traffic.
Attention all units, been on the lookout for a
female on a horse.
a possible intoxicated rider.
10:55 on a horse.
She'd be
swaying in and out of traffic.
Well, why was the horse swaying just because she was drunk?
Maybe she was moving it around.
Like, why does this car have a head and hair? It's like pulling to the left, pulling to the right.
Well, you know who we got in North Carolina talking about strange drunk driving incidents? North Carolina as well. Or, Bill Murray got arrested for being intoxicated driving a golf cart.
Nice. Do you think he's on Caddyshack again or something? So, okay, here we go.
About double the legal limit. She was obviously intoxicated. The horse was perfectly sober. And he wasn't real excited about
being
driven to town by a drunk. I don't guess.
Her blood alcohol level trotting up to a 0.157. Donna was taken to jail.
Oh, man.
The puns.
The chuckles are just all over the place.
The fun you could have had with that call.
So it was a 0.157 that she had.
Today is her birthday, and she's celebrating it in the Polk County Jail.
And her horse, Bo Dukes, to animal control. Today, the horse looks healthy. But then again, Grady Judd said it isn't the horse that's hungover. He's there because his owner is accused of putting the horse in danger.
They thought that she was going to stagger out in front of traffic.
The arresting deputy reports he wasn't sure where she was headed, only where she is now.
Well, she ultimately was going to the county jail. She just didn't realize it when she saddled up her horse and rode into town.
In Polk County, Andrea Lyon, ABC Action.
Wow. So...
Gotta love that, man. I am going to tweet him when I put this episode out so he can hear this. Well done, sir. Funny. I enjoyed that. I'm going to put that link on the blog as well because that was good stuff. Do you have this stuff going on in North Carolina as well?
I never had a drunk driving a horse, no.
Oh, man.
Mopeds.
Mopeds, lawnmowers, riding lawnmowers, a camel. No, I'm joking. Not a camel. I'm joking.
What?
No. I've never had anything like that. That'd be pretty funny, but no, never. And not on a horse for sure, but that was pretty good.
not even gonna go there.
This guy, man.
Oh, Scott.
Well, if you would clean your nose, dude, you would be all right.
It's something right here.
Stop it.
It's more of that lip cheese. Okay. So. So I can't even wrap this one up.
Heading into the wrap up.
Huh?
Heading into the wrap up.
Yes. So going into the wrap up for this episode, thank you very much for being on. This is.
Thank you.
This is how we do these episodes. Whenever he comes on, have we ever had like a full on serious one? Well, no. We did. When we did the live episode for the Imagine Listening one, we did.
Yeah, we were both like, that was rough.
Yeah, that one we were like trying not to. You'll have to check those out. These are dispatchers telling all of their I Am 901 stories. And then we were actually reading the majority of them. And there were a few of them where I couldn't read it myself. Like I read it first so that I would know how to read it. And I immediately would give it to him. Yeah. Like, you can hear me at one point say, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And so I gave it to him so he could read it.
He'd read it. It's like, so he'd push it over here or he'd look at it and wouldn't do anything. And I'd take it from him. And
yeah. It was a hard episode, man. But the last 30 minutes of that episode, well, not that episode, because that episode was 146, but 147, which is the second half of the class that we gave. It's all funny stories. It's like this, what we're doing now, but with 120 people.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was excellent. Live episode. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Some of the people would be like, I don't want to say it. And they'd be like, and then they'd finally, a couple of people would open up and then they'd get up there and start talking their
friends. Oh, yeah. Then everybody threw their stories out there. It was good stuff. But again, thank you very much for being on the episode. And for those listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us. That's going to be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @901podcast. You can also like us on Facebook. And this episode is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services, and is also sponsored by the IAED. Make sure to check out their new podcast, and that is Dispatch In Depth. You can find that on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. And this episode, along with all the other episodes that are recorded here at the conference, the Illinois Public Safety Telecommunications Association Conference, it'll be available 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, and thejabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to WTTpodcast@gmail.com.